You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are watching, listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz, and today is November 8th, 2021. Well, if you've been watching what's going on with gold, you're going to definitely want to hear from my next guest, which is the one and only incomparable Craig Hemke, a.k.a. Turd Ferguson. You find him at tfmetalsreport.com. Craig, always great to have you on the show. We've been watching something happening in precious metals over the past week. Interestingly enough, I always put significance when both gold and silver break a whole number on the same day. And on the same day last week, gold broke 1,800, silver broke 24, and they've kind of been headed up ever since. I mean, we're getting a mild, right now I'm looking at the Kitco chart, $5.40 spot gold is up, and 24 cents, which is 1% in silver. And there's something going on here. What is going on?
Well, Carrie, it's been a long year, obviously, just steadily, lower highs and a downtrend. Price really challenged to turn around, and the banks obviously have a big hand in that. And I don't want to get everybody too carried away just yet, because the banks are obviously fighting us here. Even back on Friday, Carrie, check this out. You know, the price is determined through the trading of those futures contracts on COMEX. Mm-hmm. On Friday alone last week, when price was up about $30, the banks created about 30,000 new contracts and added them to the float of existing contracts. So rather than, part price moved up because, the speculative buyers had to find sellers of existing contracts to sell to them, right? Mm-hmm. That's how markets work. But the banks actually diluted the float by adding 30,000 new contracts at the same time. So how much further would price have gone up? But it's the same old game. The banks add, that's almost 100 metric tons of new pretend digital gold to the mix. In the thought that they can outlast, and that the specs will eventually sell back. You know how this game works.
Sure.
However, Carrie, there are some positive signs here. You and I have discussed on multiple occasions this year that there's really this market inefficiency that's developed within gold, because we have sharply negative real interest rates. Even the TIPS market today is pricing negative 0.5% for 30-year TIPS. Okay. That is historically the best correlation for gold prices. Negative real rates, prices go up. Positive real rates, prices go down. And yet we have these sharply negative real rates and gold prices going down. That's a market inefficiency. It's mainly due to market participants like those speculators that buy the gold contracts believing this transitory stuff. Mm. Don't worry about those real rates. That's transitory too, obviously. And so they're believing that. But that shine's kind of coming off here. And you and I have talked all year about when it does, it usually happens gradually and then suddenly. And I think that shine's coming off, especially after the Fed action last week. But there's another detail there, but I'll stop for a second. And we'll get to the other detail that I think is being overlooked. But I'll stop because I've been talking now for a couple of minutes.
Hey, I could listen to you talk forever, Craig. I mean, it's like you're somebody who actually knows, and you've been a student of the market for decades now. So when you speak, I always Thanks. Listen. So, it just seems like one day last week, maybe it was the FOMC meeting, like people just woke up one day and said,
yeah,
wait a second, this inflation's not so transitory. I've been writing articles for months now, Craig. To me, the first hint was April of 2020 when copper started taking off. All right. And you just knew the momentum, the direction, it was going to hit all-time highs, and it did, and now it's backed off a little, but it's only backed off 10-15%, exactly what you expect it to do in a market. I said, Doc, the experts were saying, oh, China's economy is going to recover, and this is why Dr. Copper is going up. But the doctor has got a lot of specialties, but his biggest specialty is inflation. And when there's inflation, the doctor knows about it before anyone else. And then, you know, every commodity started exploding. Right. And then, really big one, in my opinion, bigger than oil. But of course, the media never really gives you the story, because their purpose, their job, Craig, is to disconnect the dots. But to me, when nat gas exploded to $6.50 2 months ago, that was it. Because nat gas, in a lot of ways, is as important or more important to the economy than oil, all right, for a lot of reasons, or at least as important, put it that way. Yeah, like oil, we need it for everything. We need it to feed our cars and all that. But nat gas become like a bigger player in the broader economy as a feedstock for fertilizer, for pesticides, for petrochemicals, for CO2. You know, hey, we're having this climate disaster, but the irony of it is, Craig, we actually have a shortage of CO2. It's like the stuff they use to put bubbles in the beverages, but more importantly, shipping food. They put carbon dioxide in the packaging and dry ice, which everything ships on. We have a shortage of CO2. Could somebody wake those people up and say, maybe it's not such a bad thing, CO2? Maybe it's not poison? Maybe we actually need this stuff?
Well, and it's not that you rattle off a few of those. And we know what happened to lumber earlier this year, iron ore, aluminum, steel. The grains are now taking off. Ammonia prices have about tripled in the last year that you use for fertilizer. I mean, and you touched on it, Kerry. It was the Federal Reserve, you know, the FOMC last Wednesday. That was all part of it. Powell was very, dovish, I think, is an overused term, but he was not at all concerned. I mean, he mentioned, this inflation is persistent. It doesn't seem to be going anywhere. But he still tried to slough it off. Well, it's, you know, the supply chain, it's this, that, and the other thing. And then there was no indication at all that they're going to be hiking rates anytime soon. And in fact, they're probably fighting last year's battle. If they were going to start hiking rates, they should have done it back in about April. But in typical reactive instead of proactive mode, they're going to sit here and wait, probably start hiking rates next year as the economy is slowing back down. I mean, we're almost negative GDP here in the third quarter. But anyway, Kerry, you mentioned what happened last week, and there was that Fed meeting. But I don't know. I think there's something more going on here, because not only did gold rally about 3% over the Thursday-Friday timeframe, but the bond market rallied like crazy as well. The yield on the 10-year note, though it's back up a couple basis points to record here on Monday. On Thursday and Friday, it fell 15 basis points. Okay, from 160, all right? Mm-hmm. So to go from 160 down 0.15, that's almost 10% in 2 days. It's a huge move. So what possibly could be going on behind the scenes that the gold market and the bond market is sniffing out? And I got a little theory for you, Kerry. On Thursday of last week, PETUS, Biden, I don't call him POTUS, like President of the United States, I call him President Emeritus of the United States, PETUS. He's over there at that global warming conference in Scotland, right?
Yes.
And he has a press conference, if you want to call it that. And somebody asked him directly, got up, and I think it was a blue, I can't remember who, said, hey, what's going on here? Powell's term is up in February. You've not renominated him yet. And this is unprecedented that president would go within 90 days and not renominate the existing Fed chair. So what are you going to do? And he kind of hemmed and hawed. He said, well, we're thinking about it. We're talking about it. What? Okay, so now let's think about Sleepy Joe's schedule. He flies home on Wednesday, so not much happening there, right? I mean, even like you and I flying back from Europe, pretty strung out the next day. Thursday, last week, he has not only Powell, but also Lael Brainard at the White House at the same time. Now, Brainerd's this, she is a Fed governor. She is a renowned, uber dovish, modern monetary theory proponent. She has been suggested by all the progressives in Congress who want this $2-3 trillion in spending. She is their favorite poster child to head the Fed. Biden knows he's got to get this cash from somewhere. Won't endorse Powell, who's talking about tapering QE. And then as soon as he gets back, last Thursday has Brainerd and Powell. And now, look, if you're just going to bring Powell, why would you bring Powell? Why would you bring Powell with Brainerd? That doesn't make any sense. So that happened on Thursday. And at the same time, the Treasury market takes off and rallies. Are they figuring this out? The QE is not going to be ending. And all of a sudden, gold rallies 50 some odd bucks. So you want a big news item to keep your eyes out. Keep your eyes peeled for it. Sometime in the next week or two, maybe it gets announced that it ain't going to be no Powell no more.
He's gone?
And Powell's gone. Instead of that, boy, you want to light a fire and have gold play catch up in a hurry?
Mm-hmm.
You go.
Wow. I missed this undertone.
You like my dots that I connected for you, though?
Yeah. Well, why isn't the media doing all this, right? Hey, the media is supposed to be doing this stuff, and they're not. So what else is new, right?
It all connects. I mean, he had a chance. Biden had a chance on Tuesday to say, I think Jerome's doing a great job. And he didn't. He just kind of danced around, But anyway, so then you follow that pattern out. You come back on Wednesday, and then on Thursday, you have Brainerd and Powell at the same time. How do you think that meeting goes? Hey, Jerome, just want you to let you know. Lael, here's who I'm going to choose. You guys good with that?
Yeah. the dots totally connect there, Craig.
Yeah.
They're totally connected.
And then you put that market. I mean, Terry, you know this. If any market really has their fingers on the pulse of thing, it's the bond market.
The bond vigilantes, man, I've been waiting for them to rear their ugly head, and they haven't done it, which is leading me, I don't know about you, to believe they didn't exist anymore. They had been eliminated with extreme prejudice, but maybe they're back, right?
Right. And you get all these guys out there. I just saw something from Peter Schiff last week. Oh, the bond market is on the verge of a meltdown. Everybody thinks rates are going to go up because inflation's up and the Fed is tapering. Well, then why in the hell did you get a 15 basis point rally Thursday and Friday? Because all of a sudden, if you're a bond trader, you know you got the Fed put in.
Yes.
You know the Fed is not going to be tapering because Brainerd's going to be in charge.
Powell is a goner, man. And I love the conspiratorial aspects of it, Craig. I mean, it's just like a conspiracy theorist's dream, don't you think?
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
American Eagle Gold is focused on exploring for a world-class gold deposit on its flagship property, Golden Gate, located in the Cortez Trend, next door to Barrick Gold and Newmont Mining's Gold Rush and Cortez Mine. They have produced over 27 million ounces of gold. The company plans to drill and advance its relatively unexplored property and continue to focus on acquiring and advancing gold projects in the area. Vice President of Exploration Mark Bradley was at the helm of the team that discovered and defined Gold Rush and has spent the better part of 30 years working on the Cortez Trend. American Eagle trades under the symbol AE on the TSX Venture. For more information and to sign up for notifications, go to AmericanEagleGold.ca.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
Well, that's the funny thing about, people call me a gold bug, right? Like that just bugs me, when, no pun intended, with people. nobody calls them stock roaches. Right. But if you're going to focus on gold, I mean, there are the analysts out there that just think it's a dot on a screen and you count waves and Fibonacci retracements and stuff like that. But I mean, the gold market, man, is a global thing that is influenced by so many different factors. And so you really got to, that's what I tell my subscriber, and I'm your eyes and ears. I'll sit here all day long, and watch all this stuff and try to make sense of it. Because it's like you mentioned natural gas, Kerry. It's geopolitics, too. Natural gas is important here in the U.S., but it's even more important in Europe. You know, everybody heats their homes with them. Where do they get all that natural gas? They get it from Russia. Okay. Let's connect the dots there for a second, Gary. Do you think the European parliament members and all the politicians and the ECB people are going to go, you know what, you're right. We've run the ECB balance sheet to 9 trillion euro. The fact that natural gas is now $6, that's our fault. We're sorry. No, they're going to blame Putin.
Yeah, well, hey, he's the logical one to blame, right?
They're going to blame, and you're already, Gary, I just saw this weekend. Now they're all worked up about the Donbass again and Russian troops and Russian imperialism and the U.S. needs to send troops to Ukraine to defend against. I mean, oh my God, have we not seen this before?
Yeah, this is called deja vu all over.
And so, okay, what if Europe goes into the deep freeze beginning next month? And you've got you've got thousands of people dying because they're not paying. They can't afford to pay their natural gas bill. You think the politicians are going to say, yeah, that's our fault?
I think the odds are high that that could happen.
Damn straight it is.
I mean,
that's a major. I keep saying this on Twitter and no one seems to understand what I'm talking about. It's going to be a long, cold, hard, deadly and dangerous winter.
I've been saying this natural gas number is the most important number forever. I don't want to brag, but I'm going to brag. I knew this was coming here because it's just as obvious because natural gas, they kept drilling more and more wells. They got them where you are in Kansas, in Oklahoma, in Texas, in North Dakota, where the gas is just being flared out because they don't have a pipeline for it. Why don't we have a nat gas pipeline? I wonder from North Dakota. And it's been in the $2-3 range for years, and nobody seemed to care about it. Now, you know, we had tens of thousands of shut-in wells, which I can't find what's happened to the shut-in production. Nobody is talking about it. I don't know if it's still shut in, or if they've opened up the spigots. But at $6 and $30 in Europe and Asia, this is sowing the seeds for an unmitigated disaster.
Disaster. And if, again, there are winners, you know it. I mean, it happens here in the U.S. well, but man, that polar vortex drops down over the continent of Europe and they go into the deep freeze. That's what Ukraine was about 6 years ago, 7 years ago. You know, they wanted to run a pipeline out of Saudi Arabia up through Syria. The Southern Stream. And they were going to, you know, get all their natural gas from, you know, the U.S. and petrodollar buddies. And so they wanted to shut down Nord Stream. Well, now Nord Stream's finally getting up and running. And they're going to, again, if this develops this way, they'll make Russia be the bad guy. And I'm not trying to say like Russia's not bad guys. Mm-hmm. But that just makes for a very volatile, dangerous geopolitical situation.
Yeah, they'll blame it on Putin. Yeah, no, not the German reactors being shut down.
Right.
That had nothing.
Coal plants they've decommissioned.
Oh yeah, because coal is dirty.
I mean, come on. So anyway, this is crazy. And turning that back to the metals, you talk about gas spiking, all the other things that have spiked, and silver and gold have done nothing. Their time will come. I don't have any doubt about that. And we now get into a position where just paying interest on the debt is such a huge part of what, you know, when we just get another $1.2 trillion compromise spending.
Yes.
And they go through this theater that they're going to raise taxes and that's somehow going to pay for it, whatever that even means anymore. So they're going to, you know, they wouldn't surprise me. They stick this Lael Brainard in there as the next Fed head. She's a white woman, so you can't say it's diversity. It's at least it's a woman like Yellen. Yeah,
well,
you know,
it is diversity.
In that sense,
they don't like.
So yeah. So anyway, that's the boy. I tell you, I'll just remind everybody. We sat there. Silver went sideways between 14 and 18 for 7 freaking years.
Uh huh.
And then it went from 18 to 29 in 3 weeks.
Yes.
Okay, gold goes sideways between 1150 and 1315 for 7 years. It finally gets above there. It went from 1480 to 2080 in 3 months.
Yeah.
Okay, it can move real fast when everybody catches on. And
you think they're catching on here? You think that's what's really happening? Like,
yeah, well,
they realize the emperor has no cortex?
Gary, they're fighting those banks, man. They keep adding open interest. I mean, anybody can pull up a chart, the daily chart, and you can see the 200-day moving average and how that was capped. We were capped that level for 2 weeks. And if you watch the open interest every day, price to get above there, here come 15, 20,000 new contracts of open interest, banks being short, speculators being long, price goes back down, specs dump, buy them back, buy their shorts back, retire the open interest. It's just a game they play. They don't want momentum. They don't want sentiment to shift. So as we go forward now, we're above the 200-day and we're up here 1820 something. We haven't made a higher high yet. The key level, anybody that's kind of new to this or just start to watch again, 1836 is the key level to watch. We've been up there two or three times and have fallen back. And you start looking through 1836 with some daily closes, and it's the generalists, it's the technical analysts and stuff are going to go, oh, wow, look, that's a higher high. Gold starts to come back. Then it gets above 1880 and then 1900, and the whole thing starts generating a momentum of its own. That's what the banks are hoping to not have happen when you have these thousands and thousands of shorts. You don't want to get tracked down here at 1800 and have it go to 1900.
Hey,
so those are levels to watch. You just hope you can get into a spot where it feeds on itself. And a news item like Lael Brainard replacing Powell, who might be enough to really make it happen.
Hey, one thing I want to point out, you and I lived through the stagflation 70s. We actually remember, we might not have been that old, we remember what inflation was like.
Yeah.
Most of the people alive on the planet today, Craig, have no memory of what inflation really is. Zero.
Right.
That is what I find even more fascinating than anything else, because they don't know what's ahead. If you haven't lived through inflationary times, you really don't have a concept. And because most of them don't read, they don't know about Zimbabwe and Venezuela and the other half a dozen countries. Israel had hyperinflation. So many countries had hyperinflation over the past 50 years. And yet knowledge base of the average American is, oh, inflation, when did that happen? Right?
Right.
How could that happen? How could they let my dollar become worth less? And yet it's never really left us. It's just high inflation left us. But we probably, I had John Williams on the show last week. He's saying it's 14% now. Maybe that's right. Probably it's been at 5% for the past several decades. So, but management of perspective economics, MOPE, right?
Right. Right. No, that's very, and it's very important because if there was a recognition that inflation was that high, you'd have that much more difficulty controlling the bond market. And that's what's so key. You got to keep interest rates low. You know, and people, anybody that does remember the inflation of the 70s will then say, well, yeah, how do we get rid of it? Well, I remember hearing something about Paul Volcker and raising rates to 20%. Well, how's that going to work this time with $30 trillion in debt? Okay. And what's so insidious about this, and where it's really going to be brutal, is wages don't keep up with inflation. Can't move fast enough. Nope. And so you got you talk about average everyday Americans, middle income people, lower income people, even middle, higher income people are stretched as thin as they can be. And all of a sudden you throw inflation in the mix. It makes for a very toxic stew of civil unrest and, general malaise. And that's where we're headed. That's where we already are, Kerry.
Yeah.
And so, I'll just close with this. You know, everybody talks about price, and I spend a lot of time talking about price at my TF Metals report. You know, we're always adding more metal, and we want to do it as economically as possible. But if value is not price, right? People associate value with price. By all the metal I've bought over the last dozen years, has never been more valuable than it is now. Hey. And that's an important thing to remember.
And I'll just add one thing and let you go, is that I bought a house recently, not so much that I wanted to buy a house, but I saw this inflation coming a mile away.
It's like,
when you have inflation, as long as you can make your debt service, you're a winner. All right. Debtors wind up owning the bank in inflationary times. So, hey, we could very well have a deflationary collapse, in which case they'll be knocking zeros off of everybody's debt. But it's far more likely that, especially based upon what you just said, new potential incoming Fed chair, inflation is not just here to stay, but it's going to get worse for much longer than before it gets better.
Right. And that transitory nonsense that people have swallowed hook, line, and sinker this year. As people wake up to that and the market inefficiency that has developed because of that, market inefficiencies usually solve themselves pretty quickly. So now is not the time to be dilly-dallying. If you want some precious metal, you think that's at least one of the tools you can use to guide yourself through all this craziness.
Yeah, could not agree with you more. And you should go over to milesfranklin.com. That's where I buy all my precious metals, all my bullion. As I always say, when you buy, they ship. That hasn't always been the case, especially with some of these fly-by-nighters we saw implode who didn't have the metal, were stealing from Peter to pay Paul. I know Andy Schechtman personally, man. If he doesn't ship, I will literally be at his front door pounding on it, saying, "Where's my gold? Where's my metal?"
He's not very far from you these days.
Literally, he's like 35 minutes away. And yeah. I know where his kids go to school. But seriously.
Let me just remind you, Andy. I don't
Oh, man. This is quite a crazy world. But hey, to make some sense of it, you need to go over to tfmetalsreport.com. And sign up there and become a member for just pennies a day of Craig's forum there. You won't be sorry you did.
Thanks, Kerry. I appreciate it.
Hey, as always, Craig, and we'll talk to you again soon. If you got a question for Craig, shoot an email to kl@kerrylutz.com. Craig, we'll talk to you again real soon. You be well.
All the best, my friend. Good to see you.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.